Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
We can be praising God, glorifying God, singing to God, professing the healing of God, the provision of God, the salvation of God with our lips, and all the while our hearts are filled with doubt and unbelief. And it happens all the time in church. I'll say it again. We can be praising God, singing to God, glorifying God, professing the healing of God, professing the salvation and the provision of God, all of that stuff with our lips, and all the time our hearts are filled with doubt and unbelief. According to Mark 11:23, which says, therefore, when you stand praying, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. According to Mark 11:23, we can speak healing, provision, deliverance, and so on. We can even command a mountain to move. Acknowledging God's word, believing it in our minds and the truth of it, yet the faith that's needed to bring it to pass is hindered by the doubt and unbelief in the heart. Luke 6:45 says this, good or evil can be brought forth out of the spirit realm by our words. Let me quote the scripture to it. The good man bringeth forth good things out of the good treasure that's stored up in his heart. The evil man or the wicked man, and we already know that the evil or wicked that's being referred to is the unbelieving heart. So the unbelieving heart, the unbelieving man can bring forth evil out of the evil that's stored up in his heart. Now we think of evil, usually we think of this little demon or something like that. If you do a word study on that word evil, and you look up in W.E. Vine or Schofield or whatever it is, you'll find out that the literal meaning of that word that is translated evil in that scripture, Luke 6:45, literally means calamity or disaster, and is often translated as sickness or disease. The good man bringeth forth good things out of the good treasure that he stored up in his heart. What do you think that good is? Well, God is good, and he's our healer. He's our provider. He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer, right? So the good man, because the Word of God says that God is good. So the good man bringeth forth healing and salvation and deliverance and protection and all of these other things, provision, brings them out of what he stored up in his heart regarding those things, right? That should be the Word of God, right? You store up word on healing, word on provision, word on salvation, whatever, brings forth out of the heart, right? But it also says the evil man bringeth forth calamity or disaster or sickness or disease out of the stuff that he's, the calamity and the disaster and the sickness and disease that he stored up in his heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do we bring it out? By speaking it. Here's the thing. I'm trying to bring forth healing, but I'm speaking unbelief. I'm trying to bring forth provision, but I'm speaking unbelief. I don't know that I'm speaking unbelief, though I think I'm speaking faith. And there's a lot of folks, I'm just telling you right out, there's a whole lot of folks, me included, that used to be, see, there's phrases out there, little catchphrases, little things that we say that circulate and go throughout the body of Christ, and it's real big. These little things that we say, and it's all designed to come forth as an excuse as to why we're not seeing the results that we believe we should have. And we think it's faith, but it's not. It's unbelief. See, the devil is so deceptive. He is so deceptive. The Word of God says, now the serpent was more subtle than any of the other beasts. No matter how much scripture we can quote from memory, it's what we speak from our heart that manifests. That's something that you should have on your bumper sticker. It doesn't matter how much scripture we can quote from memory. It's what we speak from our heart that manifests. And until we have received healing by faith on the inside, the spirit man, because see, the good man bringeth forth good things out of the good treasure that he's stored up where? Not in his head, in his heart. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about provision or deliverance or healing, success, you name it, whatever it is, it's got to be on the inside until we receive healing by faith, where? On the inside, in the heart, in the hidden man of the heart, in the spirit, we will not experience it in our bodies. Until we receive provision on the inside. 3 John, beloved above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Where is your soul? It's part of your spirit. It's inside. The level or the degree to which we're going to see healing in our bodies, provision in our life, deliverance, all of these things is going to be determined by how much we're having it on the inside, in the heart. Not in the head, in the heart. In the heart. And until it's on the inside, it's not going to come out. See, it has to get in there before it can come out. And you know who's going to put it in there? It's going to be us. And if we don't put it in there, it is not going to come out. Well, God will put it there. No, the Word of God says the good man brings forth good treasure out of the good things he stored up in his heart. He did it. You do it. I do it. We have to do it. I don't want to. It's too much trouble. Then you're going to stay broke, poor, and sick, and in bondage. You may not like it, but I'll say it. Until we receive healing by faith on the inside, we won't experience it in our bodies, because in our heart, we still believe that we're sick. Do you understand that sick is the opposite of healed? If we don't believe on the inside that we have been healed, then we must not have been healed, which means we are still. If we do not believe that we have the provision, then it must be that inside we believe that we're still broke. We still don't have enough. It's got to be on the inside before it can come out. And so, the healing doesn't manifest because in our hearts we still believe we're sick. Now, let me say this to you. It's going to shock you a little bit, but I'll say it anyway. One could call that a spirit of infirmity. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, thinks where? In his heart, not his head. Thinks in his heart. As a man thinks in his heart. Doesn't matter how much scripture you can profess out of your head. What do you think in your heart? That's what's going to manifest. That's what's going to come out. Let me just say this to you. In a lot of cases, you know what's going to be? Nothing. Why? Because you don't believe it in your heart. That's why you're not seeing it. Because you don't believe it in your heart. In other cases, it's obvious. You're just going to actually have the manifestation of what you're saying. I'm sick. Well, you know, my asthma. Well, no wonder you have asthma. You call it yours. You've taken possession of it. The Word of God says, Job 22:28, you'll decree a thing, it'll be established unto you. Well, you know, my neuralgia. Well, you know, my sciatic nerve. Oh, this and that. And oh, you know, my diabetes and my this and my that. You're sitting there telling me in the name of Jesus Christ that you believe that with his stripes you were healed, but you just named me all these different things. Well, you know, my hammer toe, my ingrown toenail, my this, my hearing problem, my this, my that. See, that's what's in your heart. But you're deceived. You see, you think of yourself more highly than you ought. Thinking that you're operating in a level of faith. And I said that sometimes it's because of ignorance, sometimes it's because of arrogance. Can I read something to you? Talks about ignorance. Got this today, Pastor Moran. I just wanted to let you know I've been listening to your online audio messages for a couple months now, and I'm being so blessed. I'm really not even sure how your information came my way, but I sure am glad about it. I just submitted a small donation, wish it could be more, but what I know for sure is that as time passes and I stay in the vein of your impactful teachings, more will come. Well, praise God. Yes, on more than one teaching, you said that there is nowhere in the Bible that tells us to pray for more faith. I said that because it's true. But I'm just curious what your take is on the scripture that tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost to build up our most holy faith. It's a good question, right? I perceive this person has a great zeal for God, don't you? But not according to knowledge. Well, she's quoting really out of Jude chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, so her question is, what's you say that nowhere in the Bible it tells us to pray for faith, but here in this scripture it tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost to build up our most holy faith. Now you see, here's where we're talking about ignorance. Now, it's not intentional. By ignorance, I mean lack of knowledge. The scripture that she's quoting is not telling us that praying in the Holy Ghost builds up our faith. There's only one thing that builds our faith, and that is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What it says here in Jude 20 is that building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between building up your faith and building up yourself. I told you that when we believe in our heart that we're still sick, or let me rephrase that, if we don't believe in our heart that we have been healed, then we're still sick. We believe we're still sick. That would be called, or could be called anyway, a spirit of infirmity. Because our spirit believes we're sick. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You know, there are people that believe in their hearts they're sick. There are people who believe in their heads that what God said about healing is true, but believe in their heart that they have not been healed. That would be a spirit of infirmity. In Luke chapter 13, started in the 10th verse, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years, and she was bowed together and was not able to be completely erect, wasn't able to stand up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are delivered from your infirmity." King James says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity," in case you want me to say it to you in King James, okay? And he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made erect, and she glorified God. The NIV says it this way. It says that a woman was crippled by a spirit, implying that it was a demon that oppressed her. The Amplified says it this way. It says there was an infirmity that was caused by a spirit or a demon of sickness. Now, I'll be honest with you. More often than not, I prefer other versions than the King James because they seem to be a whole lot more explanatory. But I believe that in the King James Bible, in this particular case, it got it right. Because in the original Greek, it doesn't say that it was a demon oppressing her. It just simply said she had a spirit of infirmity. But it doesn't identify the spirit, what the spirit was. The reason why I believe that King James got it right is because it agrees with the literal translation of the Greek that she just simply says she had a spirit of infirmity. Okay, now there's two reasons why I believe that her problem was not that of a demon, but her own heart that was sick. There's two reasons. Now, I'm going to say this to you because it's important for us to understand it. I'm going to tell you two reasons. You ready? First one, someone might question whether or not they can be sick in their spirit. Can you be sick in your spirit? Well, not only can one be sick in their spirit, but according to the scripture, you can actually be dead in your spirit. People are dead in the spirit. Proverbs 13:12, you should read that sometime. Anyway, Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Now, when you look up the Hebrew for that word broken means afflicted, sick, and diseased. So people can have broken, sick, diseased spirits. We already know Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, in his spirit, so he is. You think you're sick in your spirit? You can be. Now listen, demons can cause sickness, right? And disease, right? There's enough evidence in the scriptures to prove that, right? Demons can. Okay, we know that. We've seen it in scriptures. However, here's why I believe that this event does not depict demonic affliction, but rather the manifestation of what she believed in her heart, in her spirit. According to W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Greek Words, the Greek word translated here as spirit is pneuma. Now, most people know that word because it's usually translated as breath, wind, figuratively spirit. So when you say pneuma, most folks know that. But most folks don't really read any farther than that. Because if you keep on reading, you'll find out that according to Thayer and Schofield and W.E. Vine and Strong, it also states that it can refer to one's mental disposition, the way we think. Isn't that something? Our attitudes or our thoughts towards something. Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So it may not necessarily be referring to a demonic entity, but rather her mental disposition towards her illness. In other words, when the passage states that she had a spirit of infirmity, it could be very well referring to what she thought about herself in that situation. May very well be that at one time, all those years ago, she bent down, maybe started feeling some things. I know what that's like. Started thinking, well, man, it's getting harder and harder to bend. And I know for myself, at 62 years old, when I bend down sometimes, you know, I got to grab onto something to get back up after over 20 years of running. Well, maybe something like that happened to her, and she just thought, man, it's getting harder and harder to stand up. And pretty soon that became something to where she bent over and stayed bent over. But here's why I believe it wasn't a demonic spirit. The second reason. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. Here's why I believe it wasn't a demonic spirit. The second reason. If this was a demon that was causing her sickness, if it was, why didn't Jesus cast it out? See, this caught my attention because there is no record of him anywhere of him casting this so-called spirit of infirmity out. In every other instance and every other occurrence in the Word of God, whether it be Jesus or Paul or anybody else where there was demonic activity, they cast the devil out every time, but not this time. Instead, Jesus corrected her thinking by informing her that as a daughter of Abraham, she had a covenant of healing, and she was set free. See, most people think that when Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." What if he said it like this? "Woman, you're loosed from that infirmity. You're set free from that thing." Letting her know, as a daughter of Abraham, she had a covenant of healing. What if he said it that way? That'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? What are you doing walking around like that? Don't you know you've been set free from that thing? See, he didn't cast it out. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." So he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed. Notice Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Doesn't say cast the devil out on the Sabbath. Healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader said to the people, "There's 6 days for work. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath, you religious hypocrite." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and let it out and give it to water? Should not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And someone might say, "See, it was a demon, it was Satan who kept her bound," says so right there. But according to Acts 10:38, all sickness is a tool that Satan uses to oppress people, right? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil? Does it say that every person that's sick is afflicted by a devil? No, of course not. But yet it says that's a tool that Satan keeps people bound through sickness. So then we see that while we can certainly acknowledge the truth of the Scriptures and the promise for divine healing and make a profession of healing, all the while believing that we're acting in faith, yet doubt and uncertainty and unbelief still reside in the heart, and that can hinder the manifestation of healing in our body. And the deception is so subtle that most people are unaware of it and consequently don't experience the promise. So this woman here, I believe, the spirit of infirmity, was not a demonic spirit. I believe it was her mental disposition. Before we can properly identify unbelief, we must first know what true Bible faith is and how it operates. Now, I can quote these scriptures, and if you're one of those folks who have been taught, when I quote them to you, you're going to say, "I know that." And saying, "I know that," isn't going to help you. Because it doesn't matter how much you know if it's not operating in you. For example, I happen to know that a multiple phase wave generator is a motor-driven device with two independent point source rippler tips whose mutual phase relationship is determined by the drive shaft. I can say it to you again. A multiple phase wave generator is a motor-driven device with two independent point source rippler tips whose mutual phase relationship is determined by the drive shaft. Let me just tell you this. I don't know what a multiple phase wave generator is. I don't know what point source rippler tips are. I have no idea, but that's out of my high school physics book. Page 1, paragraph 1. How do you remember that? Because I have a sound mind, and a sound mind doesn't forget things. Do you have a sound mind? If you don't know this, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind, and you can remember those things too. And I know that doesn't mean it make any sense. You know, I believe the reason why I've remembered that all these years is so I could tell you today. But I just told you something. I can say it, but that doesn't mean that I understand it in my heart. But I just said it out of my head. But I don't have a clue what any of that stuff is. Do you know what a multiple phase wave generator is, or even what it would be used for? A point source rippler tip could come up and stab me in the eye, and I wouldn't know what that was. Before we can properly identify unbelief, we have to know what true Bible faith is and how it operates. And so telling me that I know that is not going to help you. But let's look at what the Scriptures say about faith and how it operates. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Anybody can quote it? For we walk by faith. For we walk by faith. Not by sight. Why is it that so many Christians who believe they're in faith are walking by sight? Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, that's because you're not walking by faith. You just think you are. We walk by faith and not by sight. What do you think that means? What do you think not walking by sight means? We don't go by what we see. The trouble is that most Christians go by what they see. Especially when it comes to healing and provision. Yeah, my God will supply all my needs. Yep. Well, I wanted to give more, but I couldn't afford it. I thought you walked by faith and not by sight. Uh-oh. So in other words, you're given in accordance with what you see that you have instead of what God says you have. Uh-oh. Well, I went to you in church. I was sick. I thought we walked by faith and not by sight. Weren't you in church on Thursday telling me that you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Yes. Why weren't you in church on Sunday? I was sick. I thought we walked by faith and not by sight. Come on now. That's because we think we're in faith and we're not in faith. But we think we are. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What are we fixing our eyes on? What we don't see. Do you know why we fix it on what we don't see? Because what we see is contrary to what God said. Because God said you're healed, but you sure don't look it. And I know you don't feel it. But God said you are. We're identifying unbelief now. We fix our eyes what? On the unseen. How come so many Christians fix their eyes on what they see? On what they're experiencing? How do these two scriptures compare to what the average Christian who needs healing does? What's the first thing they do that a Christian does after hands have been laid on them or prayers have been offered for them? What's the first thing they do? Check their body to see if they've been healed. Examine themselves for signs of recovery. Test the body to see if the pain or stiffness is still there. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But most folks would go ahead, check their body, see if they've been healed. Examine themselves for signs of recovery. Test the body to see if the pain or stiffness is still there. And then continue to do it daily. Just to see. Doing exactly the opposite of what the scriptures say. All the while believing they're in faith. Praise God, I'm the healed of the Lord. But checking to see whether they are or not. That's not going by faith. That's relying on what we see, on what we feel. Looking for change to determine whether or not God's word is true. If there's no change, must not have happened yet. If there's no change, must not have happened yet. God didn't do it. In other words, 1 Peter 2:24 is not true. Because he said you were. He said I did. He said you are. But I'm looking to see whether that's true, God. Oh, so here you are, calling God a liar the whole time and expecting him to honor you. Am I getting through to you? I want to make sure you get this now. The Word of God says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, and with his stripes what? You were healed. You have been. Yes, Pastor, I believe God can heal me. I'm believing he will. You don't believe 1 Peter 2:24? Yes, I do. I believe that God can heal me. I'm believing God, he will. You don't believe 1 Peter 2:24? You don't believe what God said? Yes, I do. No, the Word of God says he did. Yeah, I believe he will. No, Word of God says he did. Word of God says you are. The Word of God says you were. I believe he will. That's not what it says. It says he did. He did. He did. For you know the grace of God, that though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, so that through his poverty you might be made rich. Well, I wanted to give more, but I couldn't afford it. You believe 2 Corinthians 8:9? Yeah. What's it say? Well, let me quote it to you. For you know the grace of God, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sake, so that through his poverty you might be made rich. In other words, well supplied. What about 2 Corinthians 9? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always and all sufficient have all sufficiency at all times may abound to every good work. Fully supplied at all times. Well, I wanted to give more, but I couldn't. I wanted to help this person out, but I couldn't. I thought you believed these scriptures. Well, I do. Then how come you're going by what you see? You see, I want the divine provision of God that comes by faith and believing what God said. But we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll never see the divine supply of God if we're not willing to do that. Your gift is acceptable according to what you have if there's a willing heart. But we're never going to see the divine supply of God until we're ready to step out beyond what we see we have, and believe what God says we have. Any more than we're going to see the divine healing of God when we're willing to step out beyond what we see in our body and believe what God said about our body. I'm standing in faith for my healing, and now I'm just waiting on God to heal me. Really? Really? Again, this sounds sure does sound spiritual, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound spiritual? It's not scriptural. It's not based on the Word of God. The Word states plainly that we were healed, have been healed, not going to be healed, were healed. Until this is absolutely settled in our heart, the promise will not manifest because it comes by faith. We've got to check ourselves with these little phrases. Here's the good one. Are you ready? I love this one. According to 1 Peter 2:24, I believe I'm healed. Now I'm just waiting for it to manifest. There's so much doubt and unbelief in that, I don't know where to start. What are you waiting for? Waiting for God to do something? I'm just waiting for it to manifest. Reminds me of when the Lord told us, when he was talking to us about getting out of debt, and then he talked to us about our credit cards, and spoke to my wife about it first, because, you know, she was more amenable to the suggestion that came from God. Cut them all up, throw them away. You don't need any of them. So she came to me and said, I believe the Lord wants us to just cut all these up and throw them away. And I said, okay, we'll just cut them all up. We'll just save one just in case. Just one, just in case. My wife was smart enough not to argue. Just put it before God, said, you got to tell him. A couple weeks later, the Lord said to me, what are you saving that one for? Just in case. Just in case what? Just in case I'm not able to supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus? That just in case? Or is it just in case you want to go buy something that's not time for you to get yet and you don't believe that I can add to you? Is it that one maybe? Which just in case is it? That I'm not able to meet your needs in the time of emergency? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm just waiting for God to manifest. I'm just waiting for my healing to manifest now. Let me ask you a question. What does Mark 11:24 say? Therefore, when you stand praying, believe that you have it. When was the last time you waited for something you have? Now, if you're waiting for something you have, I know a good doctor. We need to send you there, and we need to get your head examined. If you're waiting for something that you have. Listen, I've done it. Oh, I'm just, yeah, praise God. Yeah, I believe, I'm just waiting for it to manifest. You know how long I waited? I waited until I believed I had it. That's how long I waited. And you know when it manifested? When I believed I had it. And I kept on waiting until I did believe it. It sounds spiritual though, doesn't it? Yeah, I believe it. I'm just waiting for it to manifest now. The underlying deception is that we don't believe in our heart that we have it. That's why we're saying that. If we believed we had it, we'd stop waiting. That's when the waiting stops. It has nothing to do with what you feel, with what you see, with what you experience. All of that seeing, feeling, and experiences, that's the result of the faith. But until the faith is there, you aren't going to experience anything other than nothing. Because that's what the Lord says. Don't let that man expect to receive anything. So let me ask you again, just to clear things up. How long have you been waiting for that purse right there? You still wait for that thing?
No.
Why? Because you have it.
That's right.
Sounds good to me. How long have you been waiting for those shoes? Really? You're not waiting for those things? Why? Because you have them. That's right. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you believe you have it, why would you be waiting for it? See, faith is usually not what people think it is. That's why they really don't experience it. And let me just say this to you. God is good, and His mercy, it endures forever, and it is beyond imagining the level of His mercy and His grace. Something the Lord said to me a long time ago, and this is important, and it shocked me when He said it, and it took me a while to really understand what He meant by it. But the Spirit of God ministered to me, and He said this. Then it was the Spirit of God, and He said, my people have confused my grace as their faith. More often than not, it's the grace and mercy of God that meets your need and supplies the thing you need, not your faith. Because more often than not, the folks are not operating in faith, but God's mercy and grace endures forever. And He wants His people taken care of, so He'll do what He can. But the people of God have gotten to a point to where they mistake His grace and His mercy as their faith. Well, this was my faith. It was my faith that brought it. No, it wasn't. It was God's mercy and God's grace. You were about ready to go down for the count. And He came in behind you and rescued you because of His mercy and His grace. And that's why folks seem to have, look, can I say it this way? Their faith seems to be sporadic, seems to be hit and miss. But see, when you're operating in faith, it's constant. Do you see any places in the Word of God where Jesus failed? The only time he experienced any kind of hindrance was when he went to his hometown, and what was it that stopped it? Unbelief. Lack of faith. So we need to examine ourselves. Amen? We need to really take a second look at this. We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to stop thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought and see whether or not we're acting in faith, operating in faith, or unbelief. If we're still waiting for the manifestation of something, if we're still believing that God can but don't know that He has, believing He will but don't know if He has or can or when it's going to manifest, all that stuff, that's not faith, because faith believes it has it. And when you believe you have it, you're not waiting for anything. So that means that if we have anything other than that, if we're thinking anything other than that, operating or conducting our lives or living our lives in accordance with anything other than believing we have it, then we're in unbelief and doubt. We're not in faith. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for tonight. We thank You, Father, for the Word, the precious Word. We thank You, Father, for showing us things. You said for me to preach the Word, and that Word is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And so, Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for the truths that were shown tonight. We thank You, Lord God. Father, I would pray, Father, that anyone hears this message, that, Father, the truths of Your Word would go deep into their hearts. They would take root and bear much fruit. The Lord God, thank You for opening eyes, opening hearts, opening minds, Father, to see things that they haven't seen before. Thank You, Lord God. We look to You, the greater one. We thank You that tonight the Word of God had free course and was glorified. We thank You, Father God, that Jesus was exalted. And so we give You all the credit and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.